One, two, three, four. This, my dear friends, is the Chofta. Do you want some more? Chofta, the weekly podcast with Haji Mike. Culture, music, politics, football, life. Chofteans, Buffalo Soldier, the most played song by Bob Marley on radio. It's an interesting song, and there's a lot of stories surrounding it. On May the 11th, 1983, 2 years after Bob Marley passed away, Island Records released the much-anticipated album Confrontation. It did feel strange at the time, as a fan of his music, that a record company could release songs after the death of the singer. I suppose we're more used to that now. But back then it felt a little bit weird because we all knew that Bob Marley probably wasn't involved with the process of selecting the song. Some people argue he was, but I find that a little bit hard to believe. This release was mixed by Chris Blackwell and engineered by Errol Brown with the Wailers bass player Aston Family Man Barrett. It was the first single off Confrontation, and I would say it's probably one of the oddest Bob Marley songs. But the truth is, it's not really a Bob Marley song. There's a lot of contention about who wrote the song originally. There's an African artist from Malawi called Gidiz Chalamanda, who's claimed that he wrote Buffalo Soldier in 1974. The song was originally written, however, by King Sporty, a musician of Jamaican origin who was based in Miami and was a close friend of Bob Marley's. I play all three versions of it, if you want to call them versions, especially the Chalamanda one, and you can make your own mind up as to where you think the song came from. I find Gidiz Chalamanda's claim that he wrote it originally a little bit far-fetched, although thematically, in terms of the title, there is a link. And Chalamanda, I think, is still alive. He's in his 90s. He's a very legendary singer from Malawi. But as a concept, Buffalo Soldier is a partial reading of history with a rebellious kind of militancy, its main topic being the historical role played by African-American soldiers after the American Civil War in 1886 in conflicts against indigenous people and tribes in North America. The origins of the song are quite interesting. And although most of us see it as a Bob Marley song, it was actually composed and created by King Sporty, a.k.a. Noel George Williams, who was also famous for making some very funky songs, including E.T.'s Haven't Been Funked Enough. Oh, what a monster tune that was. Anyway, King Sporty was based in Miami, and Bob Marley knew King Sporty from his days at Studio One in Jamaica. And King Sporty used to sing Buffalo Soldier in his repertoire at a place called Les Jardins nightclub in Miami in the 1970s. And whenever Marley was in town, he would visit the nightclub. And he told King Sporty, "I want to sing that song. I really like it." So the way the story runs is Sporty had a song that Marley liked and wanted to sing. And maybe for the majority of people in the music industry, this would sound very straightforward. Someone composes a song, another person covers it, and in terms of copyright, intellectually, the original composer retains the full credit. In an interview with King Sporty in the Beat magazine, Roger Steffens, who was also then working at Island Records as national promotions manager in the USA, saw the whole thing go down, as he says, when King Sporty was bought out to not release his original version of Buffalo Soldier. In exchange, the original writer was given $150,000. But Sporty explains, they didn't give me the money to kill the song. They gave me the money in a deal that we became partners. Instead of me owning the Total Master, it became a joint venture. So it gave them permission that they could do a version of it. They could do their own mix. This was then followed by a litigation case in which Sporty lost. And eventually the song was co-owned with Bob Marley. Now, co-writing was a very common practice for Bob Marley. There's quite a lot of songs that he gave other people credits to as well. But this kind of song, Buffalo Soldier, had a very different kind of resonance. It delved deeply into the context of African-American troops in the aftermath of the American Civil War. And the phrase originated from the indigenous people upon observing the dark skin and curly hair of African-American soldiers, compared them to the buffalo that roamed free on their plains. A number of songs have been written on this subject matter previously, so thematically, while you can't really protect, in terms of copyright, an idea, you could say that perhaps King Sporty maybe even heard some of these songs. I'm not sure. We can't really prove that. The Persuasions in 1972, 2 years before Geddes Chalamanda claims to have written Buffalo Soldier, did a doo-wop version entitled The Buffalo Soldiers. It's completely different, of course, from King Sporty and Bob Marley's versions and Geddes Chalamanda's versions. So thematically, the song was not an original idea, but it became best known as far as the subject matter and, worldwide through Bob Marley's version. It also became Bob Marley's most popular song. In Britain, the song reached number 4 in the charts and stayed on the singles charts for 13 weeks. There are also over 46 different cover versions of Buffalo Soldier. And this, of course, doesn't include all the unofficial ones that exist on YouTube from people sitting in front of a camera, smiling away and singing it, and usually quite badly. So it's Marley's most played song on radio, which I find a bit baffling, really, considering the amount of material that he released. I suppose what's more baffling is Buffalo Soldier was actually released after he died. The music video is also important in its success. And this is at a time when really music videos hadn't really taken off. I think thematically, Buffalo Soldier is a bit of an oxymoron. While the song describes how these soldiers were taken from Africa through slavery in order to fight upon arrival and for survival, there's no mention whatsoever of the indigenous tribes they fought. King Sporty tries to defend this in an interview with Roger Steffens, or rather, Roger Steffens probes him on it. Steffens says, "Let me ask you something about that. Because the Buffalo Soldier, you must have become aware of now, killed Indians for white people. King Sporty, that's why the Indians were scared of them. But in the terms, they were trying to get redemption and freedom for themselves. So it's the same struggle." Does sound a bit strange. Final comment on the song relates to its catchiness. That 8-bar similarity with a very famous children's TV show, The Banana Splits, which appeared on screens in 1968. And that's the section where he sings, "Woy-yoy-yoy, woy-yoy-yoy-yoy." I'm not going to do the rest of it. This uncanny link to a children's television show can't be solely attributed to Bob Marley, however. You can't say Bob Marley came up with that idea. And you can't blame it on Chris Blackwell, as people often do, because certain writers have said Chris Blackwell suggested to put it in to make the song more commercial. The melody was featured in the original by King Sporty. In fact, the song starts with that catchy phrase as a kind of chant to get people going, because it's totally irresistible. You sing along with it. It's not clear whether King Sporty was aware of this link with a children's television show, and it's not clear if he did it deliberately to make it catchier. However, the link with the banana splits does seem a bit odd, even if it happened without King Sporty or Bob Marley even knowing it. Neither of them have admitted that, of course. The song itself has this kind of novelty factor, which, taken into account Marley's seriousness and focus as a songwriter, to me feels quite out of place. And furthermore, taken as a catchy hook, is probably the most sung part of the song, and the thing that people remember it for, which goes back to a lot of ideas about pop music and a man called Theodore Adorno, who argued that the catchier a song is, the more standardized it becomes, the more standardized it becomes, the more it sells. And we anticipate this when we're listening to popular music, because what stands out really is the hook, is the melody. And a melody like that from the Banana Splits, well, how can you resist singing it? So this pattern emerges in Buffalo Soldier. I would even call it a template. If Marley could sell more units for the music label after his death with more poppy, catchier songs, despite the seriousness of the song, you know, in terms of the historical subject matter, imagine what could happen with remixes, reissues, compilations from Marley's back catalogue. And this was just the first step in 1983 in the rebranding of Bob Marley as a product beyond his own lifetime, in a very industrialized, hyper-commercialized sense. Going back to the disputes or ambiguities about the origins of the song and who wrote it first, to me it's clear King Sporty wrote it first. Bob Marley got King Sporty's permission to do his own version of it, which was released some years later in 1983, 2 years after Marley died. And Geddes Chalamanda from Malawi, I think the coincidence really is in the title and his use of catchy phrases, which both songs have. However, thematically, they're quite different, and melodically, they're quite different. And perhaps people should stop trying to jump onto Bob Marley's bandwagon. So here are the three versions. King Sporty. Geddes Chalamanda. Buffalo soldier, Buffalo to America. Buffalo soldier, Buffalo to America. When I was a young boy, Bob Marley and the Wailers. Buffalo soldier, dreadlocks.